The Buddha discovered the Four Noble Truths. And what are the Four Noble Truths? The first noble truth is the knowledge of suffering. The second noble truth is the cause of suffering. The third noble truth is the cessation of suffering, or nirvana, you may have heard. And the fourth noble truth is the path leading to the cessation of suffering, the Noble Eightfold Path. So today we will go over just the part of the first noble truth, the knowledge of suffering. And if we want to actually get out of this suffering, we should see, it does suffering actually exist? We need to know it for ourselves, not just take my word or take the Buddha's word for it. We need to actually know and see to understand what is this suffering. So, what is suffering? Birth is suffering. Aging is suffering. Sickness is suffering. Death is suffering. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, sadness, and distress are suffering. Separation from what is pleasing, a union with what is displeasing, and not getting what one wants is suffering. In short, the five aggregates subject to clinging are suffering. So in this meditation, we will go over birth, aging, sickness, and death. And when you meditate, you take your own examples and reflect on these things so that you can actually be thinking and contemplating in your own meditation experience to figure out on your own, is this suffering actually true? So first we'll start with the birth. Now, birth can happen in many realms: the hell realms, animal realm, hungry ghost realm, human realm, divine realms, Brahma realms, formless realms. So beings have varying lifespans, and they could even live for multiple cycles of the world, meaning the creation and destruction of the earth. But none of the beings in any of these worlds or realms live forever. So they all experience death, because with birth as condition, there's aging, sickness, and death. And so we will reflect on the human world, but first I'll briefly touch upon the animal realm. So when we think about it, we can see that animals are almost always either hungry and looking for food, or they're just trying to look out for danger and protect themselves from harm. So we can think, for example, about the ants on the ground, that they can die so easily just from somebody stepping on them. Or flies are dying all the time from the impact of our car's windshields while we're driving. So among animals, like, there's so much killing constantly happening, at one animal hunting another. And you can even think of animals in your own backyard, like rabbits or deer. As soon as they hear just the slightest sound from you, they run away because they're afraid. So birth in the animal realm is a suffering. So then we will look at the human realm and wonder, do I have suffering from the day I'm born? Well, first, even before the birth, we were stuck in a dark place, the womb, for 9 months, and there's no light, can't see anything. So upon birth, we can see that a baby is immediately crying, and it's constantly relying on its mother. There's a fear that an uncertainty. The baby does not know, will it get enough food? Will it be comfortable? Will it be safe from danger? And then as we grow up, we go to school, and we have to study. We have to go to school whether we like it or not. And You know, young kids are, they don't want to leave their mothers the first day of school. They're afraid. And but we're all forced to do it. And there's a lot of competition in school. There's bullying and harassment in school. And the, you know, the pressure to perform well. And through school and outside of school, we have to figure out how will we survive in this world. We have to earn money. So there's suffering there to pay our expenses. We may have some debts to pay or other obligations. So to earn this money, we have to go to work. And work is unpleasant. We have so many deadlines. There's gossip and competition there. People are backstabbing each other, always trying. There's a pressure to achieve at work as well, to perform well. And then maybe we will get married, we might have kids, and with that there's a worry about, will this child be healthy? Will it be safe? Will it have enough resources to, and will it become independent? And even after a child, then the child can have its own child, and we can then go on to worry about our baby's baby. Will that baby be okay? So in the meditation, you can even just take one day of your life and think about, is there suffering in one day? You know, when you wake up, you kind of have to wake up, even though you probably want to keep sleeping. And then the mouth is smelly, the skin's dirty, we need to pass urine and waste. We need to clean the body. And there's also the pain of hunger after we wake up. We need to eat to support the body. The body is full of these impurities. If you look inside, you can actually see the different parts of your body, like the intestines, the juices or acid in your stomach, the phlegm, pus, blood, urine, excrement, snot, saliva. These things are not pleasant. And our bodies have at least 9 holes. Only bad things are coming out of those, out of our eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and the places where we pass the urine and excrement. And then as we keep contemplating our bodies, we can think about how do we actually grow and sustain our bodies? Well, that's done through the food that we eat that turns into vomit that's inside of us. That vomit is turning into blood. And if you ever have witnessed vomit or blood or smelled them, you'll know they smell terrible. And so when we keep looking at it a single day, we can see that, you know, in one day we also have to procure our food, we have to cook the food, we have to go to work, maybe take care of kids or other people, other beings. We have the obligation to clean our living space and maintain our home. So how much pleasure are we actually getting in a given day? And how long does this pleasure last? Even from food. The pleasure from food is nice, but it's so short, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And during the day, if we had other kinds of fun, did the fun last? No, it doesn't last. And when it goes away, that's suffering. So then from birth, we'll go on to aging. And aging starts from the day that we enter the womb. We can look at our parents or our grandparents and see that that's where we are heading. You know, our skin wrinkles, the body shrinks with age. Our sense faculties decay. Like, we can't see as well. We might lose our sense of hearing. Our taste buds are gone as we age. Mind is not as sharp as before. And then we go on to the next part of the first noble truth is of sickness. And now we can think that our relatives, our friends have sicknesses, so many different kinds. For example, chronic pain or heart problems, trouble breathing, diabetes, cancer, memory loss, organ failure, broken bones, worn out joints, and obviously COVID. These are all sicknesses, so many different kinds of sicknesses. And eventually, the sickness will lead to death, which is the passing away and the discarding of the body and of the five aggregates. So it might be scary to think about death or even just to experience death. I mean, it's leaving everything that you took as yours, your body, your mind. You lose the identity of who you think you are when you die. And so when one of the meditations we do on death is we bring an image to mind. You can see your grandparent or another relative who has passed away. You see their dead body in your mind. And you see your own dead body next to them. And in your mind, you put it there for 7 days and just see how it changes. This body decays, it swells, the waste comes out, becomes discolored, and you can see in your mind that the worms and flies will eat the dead body. Bacteria and animals may eat it. And then it wears down eventually to the bones. And then the bones will decay and they turn into some powder and mix with the soil. So we see this is the result of our lives. And so when we contemplate this in meditation, we think, is this birth, aging, sickness, and death satisfying or is it unsatisfying? Is it suffering? And if we come back to even another life, we will have to face all these parts of suffering again. So consider for yourself, birth has already happened. This aging is happening so fast. The sickness is coming and going, and death is on its way. So we can also do another meditation here on the impermanence. You know, thinking that, breathing in and breathing out, we don't know if we will survive to breathe out. You know, one time Buddha was asking the monks how they're contemplating impermanence. And none of them did it properly. And Buddha told them that you have to think that when you breathe in, you may not even breathe out. You know, death could come at any time. And so that's the way to contemplate impermanence and do the contemplation of the breath and of death. So we see that we and all beings are subject to this first noble truth. And actually seeing the truth, we develop a sense of, can be concentration in the mind, in the meditation, and also some happiness to actually connect with what is true and develop a determination for the truth as a positive thing in our minds. And this can lead us to a mind of loving kindness, or metta in the Pali language. So the loving kindness is seeing this noble truth of suffering. We wish that all beings realize the four noble truths and have happy minds because of this realization. And so by recollecting on this first noble truth that I've explained, we uplift our minds and wish that all beings to be well and happy and free from this suffering. And so this is done by knowing and seeing the four noble truths. And once again, the first noble truth is the knowledge of suffering. The second noble truth is the cause of suffering. The third noble truth is the cessation of suffering, or nirvana. And the fourth noble truth is the path leading to the cessation of suffering, the Noble Eightfold Path. So now we will take 15 minutes in silence to meditate, to with our eyes closed. Don't do this if you're driving. But we will close our eyes and recollect the first noble truth that we've heard and investigate this birth, aging, sickness, and death. Take examples for yourself and see if it's true for you, and is it true for others as well. And in particular for death, remember the meditation of visualizing your dead body next to your grandparent, and also the recollection of the impermanence of breathing. And then through the meditation, if you see that the suffering is true, then you bring the loving kindness to your mind, the wish for all beings to realize and be released from this suffering, this dukkha. And so that's how we do the meditation. And I will go on mute and then let everyone know when the time is up. So we will begin the meditation now for 15 minutes. Okay, we'll stop now. And coming back from the meditation.